Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center. Today, talking to adults. We got an adult topic, by the way, today. We're talking about secondary virginity. Is there such a thing? Or is it simply a moralistic restraint that we've placed upon our culture today that really is a hangover from the Victorian era? When the research shows that 63% of Christians in an interview say they would have sex before marriage. Is it a big deal? Is it important to regain your purity? I want to hear your stories, and I've got some very intentional thoughts on this. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona. By the way, our phone lines are open to you at 888-888-1717, so give us a call. Swimming upstream today, swimming against the currents of the 21st century, some saying there he is, right out of the 18th century. With his moralistic thoughts on sex outside of marriage. Turn on TV today, and that's just commonplace, something that would have been embarrassing even to discuss or think about or admit is now flaunted as a priority in many relationships and to be sought after. And when I see the statistics that 63% of Christians interviewed said they'd have sex before marriage, it's interesting. I mean, so let's get a biblical foundation on this, and then I want to ask you the question. Maybe you have felt like you've blown it, and you feel like pretty overwhelmed in that process, and you'd like to regain your purity. Can you do that? I believe you can. There's a biblical basis for that. Maybe you have a story you'd like to share. Or frankly, you think, you know, you're off base, that we're making a big deal about nothing. Come join us today, 888-888-1717. Let me give you a biblical, kind of a biblical framework here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul's talking about living a life that's pleasing to Christ, and he's talking about many aspects of life. But right starting in verse 3, he jumps into this topic on sex. He says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, big word meaning set apart. Circle that. Christians were to be different, even called a peculiar people. Which I always remind Christians, it doesn't mean we need to be weird, we're just set apart. That you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn, underline this, control your own body. Part of this is a sacrifice. Yeah, you know, you're with a person and you've been dating for a while and you're excited and you're turned on and you want to have sex and you think it's a fulfillment of that and you're learning to control your body. There is a sacrifice. Goes on to say, in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen, and that in this no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. Circle that. When people outside of marriage or before marriage are having sex, it's not only you that's affected, but you're affecting somebody else. I didn't say infected. That may be true too, but affected someone else. You're affecting someone else. Don't wrong your brother or take advantage of him. So when we do this or when that is done, it is affecting not only you, but another person. The Lord will punish men of all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you, for God did not call us to impurity, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction, circle this too, does not reject man, but God. So don't blame me. If the Bible matters and a relationship with Christ matters, that's what the Bible teaches. Now, here's the big question for today. If you dug yourself a hole, jumped in because you have failed in this area, maybe once, twice, multiple times, maybe even as of even today or yesterday, and in the process you want to pull the dirt back over you and say, ah, I've blown it. Got good news for you. The Bible says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's get it straight. God's a God of forgiveness, even in this area. Secondary virginity, is there such a thing? Let's talk. You're on the line. I'll get to you in a moment.
I'm not married, but I am in a relationship. I've been dating my boyfriend for over a year now. At the beginning of our relationship, we weren't the most sexually pure, and we haven't actually slept together, but we had been doing other things that, you know, just weren't pleasing to God. A couple months ago, we both just felt like God was really telling us that this was not something that he wanted us to be doing, and that, you know, just that we would have a happier relationship and ultimately, in the end, hopefully a marriage together if we just left that for the time when God was wanting it to happen.
888-888-1717. Kimberly, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. What's your comment on this?
I have grown up in the church, and a lot of sexual things that they talked about, when I thought about purity, I took it with as in purity is abstaining from sex until marriage. Mm-hmm. However, over the years of like learning what purity really is, God's really shown me that if purity really means just abstaining from sex until marriage, which is part of what God has called us to do because he knows what is best for us, but if that's the case, then that would mean that when I get married, I am no longer pure because I've had sex and because even though I'm in a committed relationship, that I would be impure. But instead, God's shown me that purity is a mindset, and it's what I choose to fix my thoughts on. Am I fixing my thoughts on earthly things, or am I fixing my thoughts on heavenly things and fixing my thoughts on what is pleasing to God? And so I would say, yes, absolutely, everyone is impure, and everyone's minds are defiled by this world. However, the Lord can redeem that, and purity is not just in the form of sexual context, but also in the form of our mindsets and what we mm-hmm. choose to think about and what we choose to fix our thoughts on.
Mm. So. Well, absolutely. You know, it's Jesus says in Matthew that if you even think, chapter 5, I think, even a man thinks about a woman sexually, that becomes adultery. Guys are saying, whoa, I'm in trouble. I mean, we live in a world full of this. I mean, we wrestle with this every day. This is not something that is for just one class of Christian or people. It's for all of us. And it is something that we all have to wrestle with. And you're absolutely right, Kimberly. You know, the Bible says set our minds on things above, a mindset. One of the things that I teach is a very firm commitment to make sure that our focus is on Scripture and on Christ. And that's a hard thing to do in this culture, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Courtney.
All right, bye.
I'm sorry, Kimberly. I'm sorry. Courtney is next. I was ahead of myself. In New Mexico, Courtney, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. What's your question today?
Okay, so a little backstory. Throughout college, I grew up in the church as well, but then when I got to college, I really fell away from my faith, focused too much on partying, just having a guy in my life, and was just very impure. And so after getting out of college, I recommitted back to my faith. And since then, I've just been growing more and more in it with it. And now I realize I want to make sure that I save myself for marriage from now on.
Good.
And even when it comes to, I guess, other not as crucial sexual acts, but still I now see them as something that would be unpleasing to God. I make sure that I'm just really intentional about that, even when I'm in a relationship with someone. And so now I have this, like, better mindset. And I know in a future spouse, I would want them to have a similar mindset as well. But I guess my question is, I'm also really career-driven and oriented. And so I guess part of me is just, I'm wondering how I can continue trusting in God's plan so that I don't falter from where I've gotten myself to now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, we live in a world that has many, many alluring temptations, including relationships as part of them. And Courtney, the fact that you've placed your mind, and there it is, you know, you set your mind on Christ, that's a huge part. I think the other thing is being clear in your relationships from the very beginning what the expectations are in terms of where you stand and who you are and what your value is, and making that pretty clear in terms of if you have a developing, growing relationship. And accountability, one of the other things I think is the research is pretty clear that when we have somebody who can hold us accountable, find a woman in your life who can ask you, how you doing? You know your friend's going to ask you, how you doing with your commitment? When you know you have that kind of accountability, that helps as well. But, you know, picking the right people, being clear about your expectations and your values up front, and then finding accountability, I think are three very basic, practical, intentional things you can do.
Definitely.
Yeah. Will you do those things?
Yes.
All right. So you're in college now? Are you working or?
No, I'm working right now.
Okay. So you're looking? I mean, are you dating now?
Oh, dating? No, I'm not. I'm not dating anyone right now. I actually just got out of a relationship about a month ago.
Yeah.
And he was Christian as well, but he was completely okay with having sex before marriage, whereas I am not, and so we weren't on the same page about that. And after that, I realized how important it is to me.
Yeah, good for you. Good for you, Courtney. Make the expectation up front. Here's a point. You're dating a guy. He knows what your values are. He doesn't respect your values. He won't respect you when you get married. You don't need that. You're better than that. You find someone who honors you because of your values and honors himself because of his. And I promise you down the road, you won't regret that.
I guess one of the things that I regret doing is being promiscuous when I was in my 20s. I think that I slept with too many people in order to feel loved. And that was not something that was of God at all. And diminished my value so much that when I met the love of my life and my husband, I carried with me all of those people that I had been with. You know, those images of those decisions haunted my sexual relationship with my husband. And I just couldn't get past what I had done. I lived with a lot of regret and a lot of shame for myself and not being as pure for my husband. And I just think that, you know, I looked for love in the wrong places, and where did I find nothing?
You know, that's a whole nother aspect of this, is asking God to clear your mind and your heart, being clear that God will also renew our hearts and our minds in Him. And that doesn't mean the memories are going to be completely gone, but, you know, there's where it begins. It begins in your mind, making your mind. Okay, Marissa, welcome to the program today.
Hi, thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you for calling. What's your comment or question?
So I just want to say, you know, that the whole deal with getting your purity back after you may have had sex before marriage, I think it's definitely absolutely possible. You know, it's just that relationship between you and God. You know, God didn't send Jesus to only die for certain sins like lying, cheating. You know, He died for every single sin that we could ever commit. You know, every single person has the same amount of grace from Jesus. And I think it's truly in your heart you can absolutely become a virgin again, start that over, and just be a new creation in Christ. And move forward with your life and, you know, give that special gift to your husband or wife, you know, whenever that does happen.
How are you doing in this area? Are you dating?
Oh, no. I've been single for about 2 years.
How do you make decisions about your own purity, Marissa?
You know, it's just being so confident in you and your walk with God that nothing else could even compare, you know? I mean, of course, there's going to be temptations. There's going to be things around you that you're going to want to falter to. But, you know, it says in the Bible that God can carry you through every temptation, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just setting those boundaries for yourself.
Sure.
And knowing that the partner that God has for you, he's going to have, he or she, you know, is going to have the exact same goals and boundaries as you.
Very good. Thank you, Marissa. Appreciate your call.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. She's really telling us that we need to make a decision before we get to a place where you have to make a decision. And I think it was John Maxwell that said, make the decision before you have to make the decision. And it makes that decision a whole lot easier to make. I think of Joseph. There's an example. Talk about purity. Joseph in the Bible, you know, in the Old Testament, Genesis, when he was pursued and allured by Potiphar's wife, probably in all sorts of sexual ways. And he resisted and ran, in fact. He left his coat of many colors behind because he wanted to get out of there. You know, I can't believe that Joseph made that decision at that moment with that beautiful woman and all the allures of that. At that moment, I don't think he stopped and said, no, let me think about this. You know, what are the consequences if I do this and this, and what does God want me to do? He made the decision long before he was caught and tempted in that spot. And that's an important thing to remember, making the decision before you got to make the decision, okay? 888-1717, 63%. Do you believe that? 63% of us Christians? I mean, we're talking about our community of Christ. Says it's no big deal. Is there someone listening saying, you disagree with this? This is making a lot to do about nothing? 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Talking about secondary virginity, what does that mean? Obviously, virginity is virginity. Secondary virginity is a regaining of purity through forgiveness and God's forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, circle that in your Bible. God is a God of forgiveness. And many stories of that truth and that reality coming through here today. And we'd love to have you be a part of sharing with us. If I don't get on the air, share your story. 888-888-1717. Okay, let me go to Deb. Deb's on the line in Michigan. Hi, Deb.
Hi, how are you, Doctor?
Good. Go right ahead.
Well, talking on the subject of coming back and reclaiming virginity, for me, it has been 10 years since I decided this is something that I need to change in my life. There have been quite a few detrimental effects that led me to that decision, because I saw myself going down a path, and it wasn't just me that was being affected. Mm. There are other people that had, because every person that I chose to be in a relationship with, they was affected.
Sure.
And it affected how I related to other people, because part of my decision to have sex outside of marriage, or not even decision, was I just thought that was love. Mm. You know, if you're going to love someone, that's what you do. You know, if they love you, well, that's part of what you do. And it wasn't until I had a child outside of marriage that I started to see what true love was, and God started working more. I was allowing God to work more in my life. I had always believed in God, but didn't really know what the true sense of love was until I had a child, and God's like, this is love.
Mm, good for you.
It's not being with someone else to gratify yourself or someone else. So that's where I feel that my self-absorption and self-insecurities, I was able to start taking a look at those in God's eyes and see who I was in His eyes.
Mm. How has the last 10 years been making the decision to remain pure in your life? How has that changed your life?
Well, what has changed my life is I look more to Him now for my satisfaction and who I am and what things I do. My focus is different. It's not making sure that someone else finds me attractive or wants to be with me. I'm finding that I'm more fulfilled in God than I ever was in any other relationship that I tried to fill myself up in before. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Well, you're changing your focus and having your priorities where they belong in the process. Uh-huh. It makes a difference. Well, good for you.
Yeah, and thank you.
Good for you. Well, I appreciate your call today, Deb.
All right. Well, have a great day.
Thank you. You know, I think this is all off of the website lovematters.com, I think. Is that where it's from, Steve? 5 steps for becoming a secondary virginity. Can I just give these to you? I think they're really practical. Make a firm commitment to save yourself for marriage from now on and believe that you can do it, because you can. And, of course, I would add the first thing is asking God for forgiveness, getting that clean and being clear maybe with the person or persons that's over. You're a new person. Secondly, I think it's really important is get away from people, places, things, and situations that weaken your self-control. Sometimes the healthiest things we can do is to avoid the people who tempt us. We become like the people we hang around with, don't we? Now, this is good, too. It's really practical. It says avoid those intense times of passionate kissing and hugging. Anything else that for you will lead to those lustful thoughts. And you know, this is a progressive process. Anything beyond a brief, the kiss, and be careful. Just be careful. You understand. I don't need to say anymore. Find non-physical ways to show your love and appreciation to each other. Remember that anyone can start over, including you. When you focus on commitment, self-discipline, and I would add, your relationship with Christ. And so when you do this, it's going to make a difference in your life. We've got people on Facebook. I want to share a couple of those in just a moment.
Hey, Dr. Randy. I've listened to your program for a few months now, and it's been really helpful to me. My family and I have recently learned some disturbing news involving one of my siblings. We've learned that he's been sexually involved with his ex-girlfriend, and it's been a real heartbreaker to us. We never expected it. We live in a Christian home, and we go to a wonderful Christian church. It's really been a shocker for us. I'm really angry at him and his ex-girlfriend, and I don't know what to do about it, and I know that it's not godly to be that way. So I'm just wondering if you have any advice for that. I'd really appreciate it. Bye.
Well, yes, I do. If you go to your brother, depending on the level of influence you have in his life, he may see you as condemning and moralistic and judgmental. And of course, if you're disappointed in him, and those things can just push a family member away. I think you pray for your brother, and I think you do another thing. I think you talk to him about, hey, listen, you know, realize you're doing this. I want to ask you a question. Where do you think this is taking you? Are you a better person as a result of this? Is this going to make you closer to God, make you closer to having a good relationship down the road in marriage if you marry her? Is this the way, when you look back over this period of your life, you want to be remembered? In other words, put the ball in his court so he has to think about it himself. He's not going to take you as his preacher or Holy Spirit. It's an opportunity for you to just simply ask some open-ended questions that he's got to not address to you. He didn't have to answer you. He's not answerable to you. He's answerable to God. But ask him the kind of questions that'll make him think. Make him think. Okay, Facebook comments coming in on what word of encouragement would you give to a friend who stumbled but wants to reclaim their purity? Andre made an interesting statement. When I sin at 100 miles an hour. But as soon as I realize it, as soon as I have this inner voice starting to lecture me, I drop to my knees so fast and ask for forgiveness and try to learn from my mistakes. Holly says, I repent to God. He's a loving, forgiving God. Janet says, ask God to forgive and forgive you and strengthen your conviction. It's never too late to begin again. It's not. You know, the little trite saying, today is the first day of the rest of your life, is true. You can't relive yesterday, but you can get forgiveness from yesterday. Katie says, repent before God, forgive yourself, and then find an accountability partner who you can confide in when faced with those desires, who will help keep you on track. And then Roxanne posts on Facebook on this topic, just because you lost your virginity or battled to stay pure doesn't mean you cannot be washed clean and start over. You don't have to continue to live an impure life just because you have failed. Dust yourself off. Begin again. You can do it. You know, the calls we've had today have all been people who have either been through this and have been forgiven or struggling with it. We didn't get anybody on the air today who simply says we're a bunch of nuts. Maybe there's a few listening who think that, like we're making a lot to do about nothing. Let me just put this in perspective as we wrap up the program here in a moment. There is a reason that this is a big deal, and I'll tell you what it is in just a moment.
Dr. Andy, I just wanted to call and tell you that the way I have chosen to live my life intentionally is by making sure that any relationship that I get into from here on out, that I stay pure and that I avoid the temptations that the world lays before and everyone seems to think is okay, and keep going by God's plan and His looking out for me. So that was all. Thank you. Bye.
Good for you. Much advice today. You know, here's why it's a big deal. It really comes down to an ownership issue. It really does. If I believe that I am my sole owner, I am the maker of my own destiny, I'm the final authority, then what I do should be based on what I believe to be right for me. And that's, of course, our cultural message today. However, if my worldview is that I don't own myself, I was bought with a price, that I am a child of God, as a result of being his child, I have an opportunity, a responsibility, and a privilege to honor him, then my worldview causes me to be concerned about things and how I live. Here's what I believe. When we choose to be intentional in how we live in these areas, better things happen. I don't see bad things happening because a person chooses to remain pure or as a virgin until they marry, or secondary virginity to start today with a new attitude. I don't see the downside. I see the downside otherwise, but I don't see the downside there. It's a good thing because God loves us. And so in about 30 minutes, I'm going to take you through all six chapters of Ephesians. This is going to be the quickest survey of the book of Ephesians and a lot more scripture than we normally have. But I think it's important, again, for those of you who are members, those of you supporting the ministry and for staff, that we get back to understanding the biblical basis for why we do this. Hey, listen, we're in a brand new month here in August, and I have a brand new teaching. And you just heard an excerpt called The Reason Why for Intentional Living. I sat down, I said, you know, you all are praying for and listening, and many of you are supporting the ministry. I want you as a member, those of you who are supporting the ministry, to know why of intentional living. What's the biblical basis of why we do what we do? So I really unpack it in detail, looking at the book of Ephesians as the outline. It's a very biblically based practical teaching that I think will solidify in the hearts of many of us, as it has in my own mind and heart, that this really is a biblical thing, living intentionally in Christ. And so members, watch for it. It'll be coming to you automatically. If you would like to receive the teaching, The Reason Why for Intentional Living, get a good understanding of what intentional living is, where it comes from, and the difference it can make in your life biblically, it's our gift to you as you share your best gift with us here in this month of August. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-1717, and press number 4. We love to get these CDs packaged and out to you. It's a way of thanking you for your support. It's sort of our monthly update on the ministry and teaching from our center here with our staff. So be watching for it, members. And for the rest, hey, it's our gift to you, but you have to respond to the ministry at theintentionallife.com. All right. Thank you, Stephen and Rob and Sally and the rest of the team for your work. And you know what? We'll be back here again next time with more intentional living, helping you figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. That is intentional living.